Hey guys, it's Drew. Tom and Chee Granville is back with some impressive meal deals. Here's what you can look forward to if you stop by and get cheesy. If you're always searching for the kids menu, look no further than Tom and Chee, where kids under 12 eat free from 4 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, or enjoy half off grilled cheese donuts every Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. And if you download the free Tom and Chee app, pop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Tom and Chee is also proud to support Chia. I think that's how I say it. A locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chee on 44th Street in Granville, near Cabela's.
Now, stand back for your own safety.
I'm not going crazy.
You're not going crazy, Arthur. You're going sane in a crazy world.
Good news, everyone. I'm sending you on an extremely controversial mission.
Controversial?
Oh my, no.
You don't have a reflection.
Are you a vampire?
Am I a vampire?
It certainly is not every day that a man attains the exalted position of temporary honorary colonel. I thank you.
Welcome to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, the mostly weekly podcast by the Court of Nerds that brings news, reviews, and topics from the world of geekdom. The views expressed in this podcast are solely that of Kevin and not that of the Court of Nerds at large, and is meant for entertainment purposes only. Now your host for this misadventure, Mr. Sledge.
Hello and welcome to episode number 30 of Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood on this post-Superb Owl Monday. I will be secretly enjoying the misery of my fellow New Englanders until someone reminds me I'm a Lions fan. On this week's episode, I'll speculate as to why Hulu went down during the big game. I'll talk about video game cheating. I'll be concerned more about Disney. Some more. And then I'll convince myself that everything is terrible all the time. Wait, strike that. Reverse it. But first, a word from this week's sponsor. Schaefer's Deck Sealant? All right.
If you're like me, you find it very hard to keep your dick dry.
Excuse me, what?
I left my dick unprotected, and it was warped out of shape in no time. I could barely recognize my own dick. Imagine that.
I really don't want to.
Then I discovered Schaefer's New Zealand-style dick sealant.
Oh, now it makes sense.
The best way to take care of your dick, in three easy steps. First, wash your dick with soap and water. Then, wait for your dick to dry. Once your dick is clean and dry, paint your dick with Schaefer's Dick Sealant.
Are, like, Australians trying to say New Zealanders have funny accents? That's weird.
After all, summertime is all about spending time on your dick. I'll often have 20 to 30 people on my dick at once. That can really wear your dick out, causing dick splinters and discoloration.
Maybe don't use it so much?
But with Schaefer's Dick Sealant, my dick stays a nice golden brown color. Who wouldn't want a golden dick?
You got me there.
If you like Schaefer's Dick Sealant, check out Schaefer's New Zealand style cock. I had a huge hole in my dick, but I fixed it by jamming some cock in it. You'd be surprised how many things you can fix by jamming cock into them.
I wonder why this commercial wasn't allowed to be aired.
Schaefer's New Zealand style dick sealant.
Use only as intended.
And now, the news!
Last night, Hulu's live TV subscription service was cut off during the most climactic moments of the Super Bowl in the Eagles-Patriots game. Tom Brady was making a last-ditch push down the field in hopes of tying the 41-33 contest when Hulu customers lost all video and audio from NBC and US Bank Stadium. Not everybody experienced the abrupt cutoff, which occurred at exactly 10 p.m. But those who did receive an error screen before the game's conclusion, error messages ranged from, quote, no content available, end quote, to one that said the game couldn't be shown due to rights restrictions. Complaints immediately surged on Twitter and Reddit. In a tweet, the company said there had been a, quote, technical issue, end quote, yeah, and said users could restart their Hulu app and restore the game feed. Several of Hulu's internet TV competitors, including Sling TV and YouTube TV, didn't experience the same service interruption. PlayStation Vue had some of its own reliability problems as well. However, nearly all of the services encountered minor snags, like jumping back a few seconds every so often, or occasional buffering. Internet TV still isn't quite as rock-solid for sports as it is for OTA antenna or cable. Hulu had to tweet out before the game's end, "We are aware of technical issues that is impacting some of the NBC feeds. At this time, we recommend users close and relaunch the Hulu app as a workaround. If fans needed a last-minute backup, the game was available to stream for free, no cable required, on mobile from NFL app or Yahoo Sports." End quote. Great job, Hulu. Great job. Now, I'm a dinosaur. I still have cable. I can possibly see a future where I ditch Comcast, but I still have to get my internet from somewhere, so why not bundle? This didn't affect me, so why not blindly speculate as to what happened? The simple explanation is that they only had the programming set from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and didn't account for runover. But I like to think because Disney is now the majority stakeholder in Hulu, that Google, who spent a lot of money on YouTube TV advertisements, DDS'd them. Crazy, you say? Well, yes. Yes, that is crazy.
Yes, hello, if you are watching us on other planets, I want you to know that on Earth, I am the leader. I rule. Everyone on Earth must follow me. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Don't tell them the truth, okay, Space Ghost?
Speaking of Disney, they might be interested in buying up Sony Entertainment. Sony CEO Kaz Hirai will step down from his post on April 1st, 2018, 6 years to the day after he assumed control of the role. He will remain with the company as chairman, and the CEO seat will be filled by current CFO Kenichiro Yoshida. Hirai is perhaps best known to the general public for his role in the PlayStation business, which is where the majority of his background with the company lies. He was involved in the development of the PlayStation software lineup in the late 90s, and Hirai famously unveiled the PlayStation 3 before he became CEO. That unveiling might be better described as infamous. He announced the console's launch models at the extremely steep prices of $499 and $599, leading to shock and ire in the gaming community. The cheaper of those two was almost a non-starter, lacking Wi-Fi and adequate hard drive storage. That memorable blunder aside, investors in Sony have enjoyed significant gains in the 6 years since Hirai became CEO, though the company has only been regaining partial ground since it fell a long way from its peak back in 2000. He has kept Sony's efforts diversified across several markets and products, from computers and Hollywood movies. But much of the company's success under Hirai can be attributed to two things: the PlayStation division, whose profits rose by 70% over the holidays, and the image sensors that Sony produces and sells to other companies for inclusion in various devices. Other divisions, like mobile, were de-emphasized as Hirai and Yoshida worked together to get Sony's house in order. Hirai was championed by was the champion of Sony's entertainment content efforts, like Sony Pictures Entertainment, to a degree that it hasn't always been matched by other executives in the company. Those parts of Sony's business have weathered some rough times, but things were looking up in the last quarter. However, Yoshida made a few references to those businesses when addressing questions about the future strategy. According to Variety, his emphasis was mostly on the technology sector. Quote, "The top global companies now are all technological companies." End quote. Perhaps those working at Sony Pictures offices in Culver City, California, might have reason to be concerned about the winds about to change. In other words, Yoshida made his mark on Sony by helping Hirai make tough calls and make major cuts to the company to get them on the right track. That might mean Disney gets to add some more to its back catalog. Look out, MGM and Warner Brothers. The mouse is coming for you.
Damn shark! Zorak, you must be secreting something that's attracting this bear.
I haven't done anything. Except for this. Merry Christmas!
Zorak, take your glands outside!
Okay.
Phew. God, crack open a window.
Hey, you remember that so-called documentary King of Kong that debuted about a decade back? Well, Billy Mitchell has been a polarizing figure in that tight-knit world of classic video game high scores since well before he appeared on Steve Wiebe's antagonist in the 2007 documentary King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. But the Mitchell Doubters got some strong new support on Friday as the Donkey Kong Forum, a popular clearinghouse for tracking performance of the game, removed Mitchell's best claim scores from the high score list. In a detailed post on the Donkey Kong Forum justifying the decision, moderator and scoreboard maintainer Jeremy Young cites video evidence to suggest that there are 3 1 million point scores presented by Mitchell that are actually set using emulation rather than the actual arcade hardware, as Mitchell claimed. While the real Donkey Kong cabinet generates the display game scenes in a sliding door effect, sliding from one side to the other, old versions of the Multiple Arcade Machine Emulator, or MAME, instead build entire chunks of the level at once, and then display them as a complete screen buffer, with slight differences as MAME has been updated over the past few years. The difference is noticeable in slow motion, frame-by-frame analysis, in the transitions between Donkey Kong levels. In the analysis, the new stage is first built in the piece after the, quote, how high can you get, quote, interludes. Comparing slow motion footage of Mitchell's videos from those of MAME and authentic cabinets, Young writes, quote, show that each of the Donkey Kong World Record direct feed recordings presented by Billy Mitchell and verified by TG were generated in MAME and not the original Donkey Kong hardware. End quote. The difference between the MAME set record and one of those set by authentic Donkey Kong printed circuit boards is an academic. Besides, important differences in timing and controls between the two, MAME allows players to easily record and replay inputs to piece together a record-breaking run from multiple attempts. While there's no direct evidence that Mitchell did this kind of re-recording, presenting an MAME run as an actual arcade gameplay would certainly introduce the possibility of such cheating. Young cites other reasons to doubt Mitchell's score submissions. While Mitchell claims that his 1 million plus point score came from a, quote, direct feed, quote, off an actual Donkey Kong cabinet, setting up such direct output from the ancient arcade hardware requires an incredibly complex setup, as laid out by Donkey Kong streamer Chris Gleed. This is why most Donkey Kong scores are confirmed in front of a live audience using video camera pointed at the screen, which can also have the benefit of showing the player at the cabinet at the same time. There's no such footage of Billy Mitchell actually at the controls of a real machine during the three claimed 1 million point games, including the infamous surprise footage presented in the climatic scene of King of Kong. What's more, there's some significant questions regarding the circumstances under which each score was supposedly created. A screen recording Mitchell's highest claimed Donkey Kong score of 1,062,000 points were only shown publicly at a short pre-release conference put on by the International Video Game Hall of Fame. The authenticity of that record is mainly propped up by the testimony of Todd Rogers, who was recently banned from high gaming score Twin Galaxies after evidence he lied about standing dragster record on the Atari 2600. Quote, scores already on the board are always subject to review, and if the preponderance of evidence against one score, then the score should be removed, even if no single bit of evidence is a smoking gun, end quote, Young writes on the Donkey Kong Forum post. Quote, in my view, we have reached the point with Billy Mitchell where we can confirm he was lying, end quote. Mitchell's various gaming achievements, braggadocious style, and signature American flag tie have made him one of the most recognizable and parodied professional gamers for years, before esports were even a real thing. His biggest claim to fame in the gaming community remains playing the first perfect game of Pac-Man, an undisputed record which he achieved in 1999. But Donkey Kong has become a big part of the public persona in recent years, including a ride on a giant Donkey Kong machine in December's Citrus Bowl parade. While Mitchell's Donkey Kong score were impressive at the time he claimed them, they've been surpassed by video verified runs of numerous players. Mitchell's highest claimed score only ranked at number 20 on the Donkey Kong Forum rankings before being removed. As it stands, Mitchell's highest confirmed score, an impressive 933,900 point performance achieved in front of multiple witnesses at Midwest Gaming Classic in 2004, is the 47th highest score listed on that site.
Maltar?
Hey, you got a giant metal hook sticking out of your head.
Enough of your lies!
Maltar, I'm worried about this supercomputer situation.
You know, you're bleeding there.
It's computing things that I don't like, quite frankly.
That's a TV monitor!
What's that you're wearing?
It's
so sexy and skin-tight, Moltar.
Space Ghost, I don't even want...
This supercomputer needs to be destroyed.
No, What are you doing?
Confound it! I'm left with but one choice.
Great Scott, Space Ghost, not another rock!
Even better! This is the first rock!
Well, that wraps it up for this week. I could have probably talked about a topic or something like I said I was going to in the introduction, but how about you swing by later in the week for an after party when I can do it a little bit more justice? I'm Kevin from the Cord Nerd saying, I'm not your type. I'm not inflatable. Bye!